Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This Valentine's Day, create a space that feels warm and welcoming with help from Menards. Whether it's a small refresh or a big project, Menards has the tools and materials you need. Build something together and make your home a place you both love coming back to. Don't forget the sweets for your sweetheart. Get a 6-ounce bag of Russell Stover chocolate candies for $3.99 now through February 14th. Save big money and finish your projects together at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench, hour number two. We got, I think, Jerry Palm coming up this hour to get you ready for the Sweet 16 tomorrow and Sunday, which should be awesome, to say the least. I will tell you, there's games going on right now. The Cavaliers and Lakers are underway. Early on, 18-16 Cavs. The Jazz are up 10 on the Grizzlies. That number was 10.5. There's 6 minutes left. The Hawks are beating up the Warriors by 19 in the second. They have kicked their ass in San Francisco. It's all Hawks all night. 64-45 right now. They are kicking their ass in the city by the bay. The Hornets beat the Heat 110-105. I hit that bet. I think I was actually getting to. I was. The Hornets were getting to in that one. I think it went to 1.5. I hit that bet. I had the Nets to win and Pistons plus 5.5. There's another double cover. Suns Raptors drag. I hit the Suns. I laid 4. And it pushed. The Celtics, I took the Celtics with the 6. They won the game outright over the Bucks, which I didn't think would happen. But Boston beat them 122-114 tonight. And Tatum had 34. Smart had 23. And it snapped the Bucks' 8-game winning streak and split the 2-game series. Now remember, the other night, and I just wanted to see what everyone had in that game. Brown had 18. Walker had 21. There you go. And then Giannis had 16, so they shut him down. Middleton had 19. 27-13 the other night. 19 tonight. They shut him down. Nobody did anything. Holiday had 17. Boring. DiVincenzo, 13. Boring. There you go. Celtics win. And I hit them on the spread, at least. Blazers win 112-105 over the Magic, but the Magic covered. They were getting 11. So the Magic covered the 11.
Yeah, thanks,
I hit
CJ
the Blazers.
McCollum.
I laid the points, though. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Ball Hogan, 8 of 26. You get the whole lineup back. Their lineup is 6'2", 6'6", 6'6", 6'6", 6'9. No names, and you can't beat them by more than 7 because CJ McCollum can't hit the broadside of a barn but won't stop shooting.
Wow, I didn't know it was that bad. The Timberwolves, I hit, laying 3.5. They win by 6 over the Rockets. I like them again tomorrow night, but I'm a little leery of laying the points tomorrow night. And then the Nuggets, 113-108 over the Pelicans. I had the Nuggets laying 2. That was a double cover. I took the Pacers with the points. They beat the Mavericks 109-94 in Dallas tonight. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana. Do you wanna? SportsMap Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. It's Pharrell on a bench with Mafia tonight. 844-843-6879 is the number to get on the bench. I got my eyes on that Grizzly game, 107-98 Jazz. Oh, they're down 9, getting 10.5. Come on, Billy, 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 Billy. Come on, Billy, Billy, Billy. 3:40 left, Billy, 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 Billy. Lakers now 22-18 on the Cavs. There you go. A light night tonight in the NHL, only 4 games. I got railroaded on the Ducks. They beat the Blues 4-1 in St. Louis. Go figure. How is that even possible? The worst team, the Ducks, beats the Blues. You know, it's weird. Ever since they gave that Binnington all that money, that big contract, that 6-year deal, I mean, have they won a game once since they – I mean, honestly, let me just pull it up. I mean, I can't even believe what I'm seeing here, that they lost to that crappy team. They've been losing like nobody's business. Oh, they beat the Sharks on the 20th last Saturday, and they beat them twice in a row. Friday and Saturday, but then everything else, they lost to the Kings, they lost to the Knights, they lost to the Wild, they lost to the Ducks tonight. So I don't know about them. I don't trust them as far as you can spit. I cannot believe Anaheim beat them. They're awful. The Capitals beat the Devils 4-0. I hit that. Sharks and Coyotes right now 1-1 in the second, 15 minutes left. And I have the Jets tonight against the Flames. 16 left in the second. The Jets are up 1-0 on the Flames. I know you're excited for the Sweet 16. 4 big games Saturday, 4 big games on Sunday. We're going to get into it in a little bit with Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. It's Pharrell on a bench.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends. You're listening to The Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on a bench on a pain-free Friday. So today the big news was the Niners and all of their movement and trades. Basically, with the Dolphins and Eagles, right, Mafia? And at the end of the day, they end up with the number 3 pick in the draft, right? And then I don't even know what the hell else happened, what the Dolphins got, what the Eagles got, but they ended up with the number 3 because originally they did it for the number 6, right? And then they moved from 6 to 3.
They moved up to 3 right away. San Fran traded with Miami to move up to number 3. They gave them the 12, like another couple picks later on, a couple, you know, like pick in the future. And then the Dolphins did the deal with the Eagles to move back up from 12 to 6. So you end up with the 49ers at 3.
It's moved from 12 to 6. So the
yeah. And then the Eagles at 12.
So it's Niners 3, Dolphins 6, Eagles 12.
Correct. And then a whole bunch of other picks, like you said, like later on in the draft.
All right. So there you go. And it's all very exciting. And I guess the moral of the story is this. is that obviously I saw that we did it all on Coast to Coast. Off the top of my head, I can't remember everything. But I know that the essence of our arguments today were about Mac Jones, right? It seemed to me that when I, you know, before I did the TV show today, before I, you know, I turned on the TV and they were talking about, it just seemed to me like that Mac Jones was the guy. Like there was no real discussion of Fields or Trey Lance or any of it. It was just Mac Jones. And then I guess, you know, I'm sitting there talking to Adam Kaplan, and you know how it went, Mafia. I want the radio audience, if they didn't hear the show today, and if they were on 204 on Mightier 1090, whatever, Sports Map, Byline, whatever, and you didn't hear Adam Kaplan talking to me about it, this guy's telling me, and I think Adam's phenomenal, right, with his information. We have great football conversations on Sports Grid. We really do. I mean, they're amazing. And you know that's true, Mafia. I respect Adam. I like him a lot. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen, right? So anyway, the guys on my show were talking today about this guy, Mac Jones. And he keeps telling me that basically in Portuguese that he doesn't have an arm and that he's not athletic. And I'm sitting there listening to this and I'm going, what in God's name would you trade your entire, all your first round picks? Would they give him two first rounders? That's what they gave him to get the number three pick. At the end of the day, that's what they gave him. And in terms of draft picks, and you know that to get into that position of three and to give up all those draft picks and to make that move, that they're going to draft a quarterback. Everybody knows that, right? Fair enough. So everyone just went right along down the railroad tracks right to Mac Jones. And the thing that was amazing to me is him saying that he's, you know, he's got an average arm and he's not athletic. And I'm sitting there thinking, and remember what I said to him, Mafia? I said, well, listen, I don't like Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL, but Justin Fields is an athlete and he's got a strong arm.
Right. I mean, I'm
so bottom line is this. Bottom line, would you not take the guy with the athleticism and the strong arm over some guy that doesn't have an arm? You know what he said? He said that NFL teams are worried about his arm, his athleticism, but they know that he's smart. He said that he's a very smart guy. I'm just like, listen, I'm still willing to take the dumb guy if he's got all this athleticism and strong arm. That's basically Jameis Winston. He's got a great arm. He's a great athlete. And he, you know, I could put him in that bin, right, of not so SMRTs, not so smart. I'm so smart.
Yeah, makes dumb decisions.
SMRT.
Both on and off the field.
He's not smart. But whatever, the guy threw for 5,000 yards and 30 TDs, whatever the hell he did. He's like the guy that they would say, am I wrong, that they would say, well, he's stupid. And then, like, when he was in college, he definitely rocking out the crab legs out of the Publix, you know, rocking it out. Like, he's not the smartest tool in the shed. Bottom line is, that if that's what it takes, like, are you really going to draft it with the third pick and give up all those draft picks, Mafia, for a guy that's just smart, that has no arm, or that isn't an athlete? Now, listen, I don't think, personally, Mafia, I don't, like, that's not what I saw. I didn't see a guy that had a bad arm playing at Alabama, okay, that just won the national championship or whatever. I saw a guy that just kicked ass and took names this year and just dominated. You know, it's funny. Explain to me how it is, Mafia. You tell me right now. How is it that Joe Burrow did the same thing that Mac Jones did? Did he not do the same thing? I mean, the guy went and did the same thing. And one guy, they treat him like he's God. And he went and blew his knee out in the NFL. Welcome to Pain Day. And then the other guy, they say he sucks. Like, and now they're saying he's going to be drafted number three by the Niners. And that he doesn't have an arm. Could you believe the stuff you're hearing about this? Like, what did you think of him when you watched him at Alabama?
I thought it was solid. I think he's a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a great quarterback. I don't know if I'd be I wouldn't move up to draft him number three, I tell you that. And especially, obviously, you know, not only is that the movement up to them, but the timing is suspect because he just had his pro day. You know, you haven't seen Fields' pro day. We saw Zach Wilson's today, but they're not moving up to grab Zach Wilson because if the Jets are sitting at number two, they're grabbing him. They're not, you know, letting that kid go by them to draft some other position. So, obviously, they're moving up for a quarterback, and Mac Jones just had his pro day. So, you liked what you saw, you moved up for him, is what we all stand to reason. But, I mean, the thing I think with Burrow to him, the comparison that you were just making is, you know, Justin Jefferson's awesome. We saw what he did this year as a, you know, his rookie season in Minnesota. But Burrow was doing that. His guys weren't up for Heisman. You know, Mac Jones was up for Heisman. His receiver won the Heisman. And he wasn't even supposed to be the best receiver on the team. That guy got hurt this year. So, that just, you know, I think people say, well, your receivers were amazing, and they got a million yards after the catch, and they don't give him enough credit. I think he deserves more credit than he gets, but I still don't think from what I saw that I would say, well, that guy's a surefire, you know, can't miss franchise, you know, turner around or quarterback, and I'm going to move up to three to get him. I think you could easily got that guy, you know, later in the first round, if not maybe later on the second, by the time you get Fields and these other guys getting their pro days.
Now, listen, I agree with that, but I also know somebody's got to throw those guys the ball. They didn't fall out of the clouds. He made the throws, and they caught him and scored touchdowns, and they won the title. It is what it is. I said today on the TV show that, I mean, it was a team effort. It wasn't Mac Jones doing all this spectacular stuff and everything else. Don't even tell me that LSU wasn't good across the board. They had, what, 11 guys go to the NFL from the team? I mean, the whole team was awesome. The reason they won the national championship, I mean, it's like they make Orgeron out to be some genius. They won that game and that title because they were loaded. They were loaded. They were like an AK-47. I mean, a clip. They were loaded. Locked and loaded. That was a loaded football team. So was Alabama. That's it. How do you think these teams play in the playoff and win national championships? Because they're loaded. So he's either good or he isn't, but he still had to make the plays. He had a gigantic year. So it is what it is. And if they take him at three, he's the future. Listen, I mean, it's funny to me. Garoppolo took him to the Super Bowl, and now he sucks. I think what it really is in Portuguese is he took him to the Super Bowl, but then he's had the knee, and then he's had the ankles. So now they think he's just not worth it and he's injury prone or whatever. But don't tell me they didn't like him when he was in the Super Bowl. And don't tell me they didn't like him in Boston. They still talk about him every day in Boston like the Patriots should go back and get him, Jimmy G. So now all of a sudden he sucks. I mean, I think they're all, it's almost like they're stupid.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with Mafia. We also have your boy, Jerry Palm, back on the bench. Jerry's been on the show so long that he's lost count, and nor does he have the time or wherewithal or the caring to go look how long he's done it. He just cares less. He just cares less and less each time. He's done it 5 million times. He's like, I don't even remember when I met you. I didn't like you then either. That's what he said to Mafia. He didn't think I was listening. That's what he said. I was listening. Anyway,
it's been like
Jerry.
Three different networks, I think, Scotty.
Yeah. Well, I think he used to do Mafia, didn't he do Sirius XM, Howard Stern. Imagine that, Jerry Palm on the Howard Stern channels every week for like 8 years. And then 8 more years at CBS and now Sports Grid. It's just great.
I might be the only person who
the only person what?
On Howard Stern channel without swearing.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, Jerry, because I was just going to say that I wouldn't have you on all these years if I thought you sucked. You know what I mean?
I appreciate that. Yeah.
And also, I hate your team, too. And typically, you can ask Mafia. I don't do a whole lot of, like, friendly stuff with people. I hate their teams. Like, one of the things I have to do is I have to deal with this Carver High guy with his stupid-ass Islanders who I hate dead. The whole team dead. And I hate him so much. Like, I hope they get a salmonella. And they're playing the Penguins this weekend. He's like, it's a big weekend for us. I'm like, screw you. And then same thing with you, Purdue and you and all your friends. I hate all of you, but I still have Jerry on the show because I think he's a badass. I think he's great. So let me ask you, Jerry, what games? Mafia told me you went to some games. What games did you go to?
I did. I saw UConn and Maryland at Mackey, and I saw the Rutgers-Houston game at Lucas Oil from the nosebleed seats.
The Rutgers-Houston
and,
game?
I got a ticket. Yep, and I've got a ticket for an Elite Eight game. We'll see either the South or Midwest Region Final.
So what? Like, what are the possibilities of that game that you have the tickets to? Who do you think? Like, who do you see envision being Baylor, in that game that you have tickets for?
It'd be either Baylor and whoever, you know, probably Arkansas, or Oral Roberts, and then might see Houston again. The Houston-Syracuse winner versus Loyola-Oregon State winner. One of those two matchups. One of those two regions.
God almighty, that is awesome. So so what do? Jerry? You roll around Indiana now with the COVID and everything. You got your mask on and you're walking in like in your hazmat suit to the arena to watch some NCAA tournament games?
No hazmat suit, but yeah, the mask is required, so I've got that. But no, just the only restriction that's different than any other time is a mask. And you're not selling tickets so that you're sitting on top of anybody except the people you're with. So we had, you know, like plenty of room around us in our seats. They're only selling up to 25% capacity. And so at Mackey, that's 3,500. There weren't quite that many, I don't think, at the game I saw at Mackey, but there was a decent crowd, and they were loud. And then, of course, at Lucas Oil, it's completely different. And we're up where I am, I can't tell what the noise is like courtside. You know, the people up around me are cheering, you know, for their team. I was just hoping for a good game. But, you know, but if there's the whatever noise there is in the lower-level fans and the courtside, you know, the court noise, I'm not going to hear up where I'm sitting.
Right. Let me ask you, what was the like biggest high school game that you've been to? Like, I remember the last time I think you told me you moved to Chicago or whatever. So you must be driving down the 65 all the way to West Lafayette and then hitting Indianapolis, all that for those games. Fair enough. Right. But what was the biggest high school game in Indiana, let's say, that you went to ever or anywhere for that matter? Like the biggest high school game, because when you're talking, when I saw the crowd at Mackey, it seemed like it was like a big high school game.
Okay, not by Indiana standards. The crowd was not a big high school crowd by Indiana standards. I was at a sectional at Anderson High School, the Wigwam, and it was Anderson and Highland in the final, and that place was packed, 9,000 people, and Link Darner was playing for Highland. His dad was the coach. Link Darner, who played at Purdue, was playing for Highland that year, and Anderson hits like a almost half court shot to win the sectional, and 9,000 people are losing their mind. It's the biggest crowd I've ever been to at a high school game. I've been to a state final in both Indiana and Illinois. In Illinois,
I've been there.
I got to see my high school with Kendall Gill play Marcus King and Liberty from Chicago, and that was a blast. And then we saw a really good game in Indiana as well. Anderson High was in that game as well, different year, but yeah. So three big high school games. Those are the three biggest high school games I've ever been to. But the Anderson sectional was just ridiculous. Had the crowd, the energy. I don't know if you ever saw a game in the Wigwam, but that just the pregame ceremony was insane.
Right. So I've been to all those places, and then it's been so long, right? But when I was a kid, I went to the States. I saw Delray Brooks play and Dan Palombizio. Uh-huh. I know you've heard those names. Yeah. And I've seen the state championships. I've been to games in if I remember correctly, Fort Wayne. They had big games there, big games in, you name it. What was it? Warsaw, Kokomo. They had all these big games. Where are all the big games played now? What are the Anderson's one of them? Indianapolis, they play at several, right? Ben Davis, Carmel. Where are all the big schools that they play these games at?
Lawrence North has got some big games. They've been really good for a while. Lawrence North and Lawrence Central on the northeast side of it. That's where my wife lives, or her family lives now. Indianapolis, I think Ben Davis is still pretty good. Homestead's been good lately. Caleb Swanigan was there, and then they've got somebody else there, I think. And that's up by Fort Wayne. There's always good basketball up here in the region. Somebody's always good up here. They're now all over the state, really. But Indianapolis
when
has
you
got
saw
quite a few.
Yeah. When you saw the kid, Leon or whatever, play at Bloomington South, I mean, he went to Indiana. It's amazing to me that he was Mr. Basketball and was scoring 30 a clip at South, and then he went to Indiana. If he made 2 points in a game, it was a miracle. I just can't believe, what happens to these kids? When Steve Alford was Mr. Basketball, Newcastle, he went down to IU, started popping, dropping 23 a game.
Right away. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, just like right away. And then, I've seen them all come. Damon Bailey, are you kidding me? Damon effing Bailey was Elvis. He was Elvis.
Yeah, I know. He still is.
I mean, honestly, you know what? That's who Indiana should hire as their coach, is Damon Bailey. Where the hell is he? On a farm somewhere?
I have no idea. I have no idea what Damon.
Wonder what happened to that guy.
I don't know. You know, but
you know what? That could be a show, Jerry. Jerry, that could be a show. You and I searching for. We would be searching for Damon Bailey on a TV show, driving around in a car. You and I, like we were private eyes. I could start smoking again. I could get a fedora, some cool sunglasses. I'd have a drinking problem. You would never swear. I would constantly be swearing. And the entire premise of the show would be to find Damon Bailey. And then to get him to be the Indiana basketball coach. And along the way, you have to put me into rehab. But you stay by my side. We have lovers in Kokomo and Warsaw, Michigan City. Chesterton, Portage. Chesterton. We know where all the best diners are. A lot of scenes and diners, Jerry. Looking for Damon Bailey. Think of it. I bet you tonight, Jerry, when you get off the air with me, you're going to effing go to bed and you're going to have a dream about finding Damon Bailey with Pharrell in a hit TV series.
He actually was coaching for a while.
It'd be something.
IU is actually going to try to hire a coach that's got Indiana ties, so why not Damon Bailey, right?
Right? Well, when I heard Calbert Chaney, I didn't have a problem with that either. And then they started talking about, what's his name? The Knicks, Mike Woodson played in Indiana.
Yeah.
But it just seems like they're obsessed with it. Then is it true they went after Holtman, the Ohio State coach, and he basically told them no?
I didn't hear that one, but I wouldn't be surprised if he told him no. He's not going from Ohio State to Indiana. That's an SEC thing. Yeah. We don't do that much in the Big Ten. Go from one school to another.
People think
going after Thad Matta, but the Indiana beat writer for the Star said that was bunk. So
all right, hold on, Jerry. So we'll come back with Jerry and continue this conversation. But it's true. They allegedly went after the Ohio State coach, and he said no. And they never really had a deal with Thad Matta.
Sports Grid is available on the radio, internet, TV, satellite. And don't forget our mobile app. So if you're not getting it,
You're just not trying.
Keep it right here. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to Jerry Palm of CBS on the bench. And tomorrow it all starts. The first game is at 2:40. It's Oregon State and Loyola. And I'll just tell you briefly what I've said to the TV and radio audiences during the week, if you will, Jerry, is that I think the Ramblers play great defense. I think Krawig, the Angry Inch, is a incredible big man, great footwork, great fakes, great hands, both hands. A great defender can finish. He's got every little trick in the book for putting the ball in the hole. And the guy plays at a high level, and he moves pretty well for a big guy. And I think their hands-in-their-face defense and body defense is so incredible. It reminds me of, really, I hate to tell you, like it'd be like Katie or Knight defenses, man-on-man, just absolutely the whole 40 minutes of just nightmarish man-on-man. And I think they play that kind of defense. But Oregon State is hot, and this is a better game than – I think everybody just thinks it's Loyola automatic. But meanwhile, I think Oregon State's on fire.
Yeah, they are. They had to be just to get to the tournament. You know, they weren't making it without winning the conference, and they did. So that took, what, three or four games in 3 or 4 days. And then, you know, once you get to the Sweet 16, everybody's hot because they've won two in a row. But Oregon State's especially hot. And that's yeah, it's not a given. I don't think it's a gimme. I wouldn't be. It's like a 7.5 or so point line to that game. I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon State covered, but I like Loyola to win.
Yeah, me too. But the 7, I think Oregon State's in the game. So I have to tell you. I also said this. Just I want to get your thoughts on this, Jerry. Is Porter Moser the coach? If I were him, I'm just saying, because I don't think obviously Indiana wants something bigger than Porter Moser, but I think they're making a mistake. I think he's a really good coach.
If that's their attitude, then, you know what I mean? Then they're going to end up with something less.
Yeah, and I think, but here's the thing about him is what I'm telling you is I think they're not offering him that job, it would seem to me. Unless they do now because they've gone after all these other bigs and nobody wanted the gig. So now they might be forced to go for it with him. And if they do, you know, he'd probably take it. But I'll say this. If I were him, I'm being as honest as possible when I tell you this. I wouldn't even leave Loyola Chicago right now. I think he's got what he's done there in winning 75% of their games in the NCAA tournament as the best winning percentage ever. I mean, like, he's just like Few, if you ask me. He's got something so special at Loyola of Chicago that he can recruit there now forever with these two trips to the dance where he went this far. I think he's dangerous right where he is.
I agree. I completely agree. And he has talked about wanting to build the next Gonzaga there. And I don't think Indiana's a good fit for him anyway. I think, you know, if they throw a ton of money at him, he'd have to at least consider it. But I'm with you. I think he's better off where he is. I don't know what open job right now would be one that he should take, but I'm hoping he stays. Not because I don't want to see him somewhere else, but just because I kind of want to see what he can do, you know, with a long-term gig at Loyola.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I wouldn't, and I'm going to say this. I wouldn't even take DePaul over Loyola of Chicago because I actually think the Ramblers have a better program.
They do, absolutely.
Well, there you go. All right, so later in the day, after that game, you got Nova and Baylor. I think Baylor's phenomenal, and I also think Jay Wright's a great coach and that they're getting way too many points as well. I think that game will be within 7.5. I don't think Baylor's blowing out Nova.
Well, they could. You know, we haven't really seen Villanova tested yet in this tournament. You know, where not having Colin Gillespie matters. This is definitely a game where not having Colin Gillespie is going to matter. I think Villanova could get run.
Wow, listen to Jerry right here. He's just like having none of it. He thinks that the Gillespie and Moore injuries are going to catch up with the Wildcats and that Jay Wright, even though he's going to have a fresh look, that he's going to get ran out by Drew and the Baylor Bears, who've been tough all year, and they're a number one seed. And then after that game,
more about Baylor than it is Villanova.
I think you told me once you hated Philadelphia.
It's really that
Jerry told me once. You remember Mafia when Jerry told us he didn't like cheesesteaks in Philly? He said that. He said he hated them, and that he never liked the Big Five or any of those.
He said
Jerry said he hated the Palestra. He said he thought that all those schools.
I've been to the pavilion at Villanova. I saw a game there once on campus, their campus arena. And it was a nice place. I liked it.
That's living, Jerry. At 7:25, it's Oral Roberts in Arkansas. I think Musselman has done an incredible job in Fayetteville, but I always knew he was a good coach in Reno.
Yep. Yeah. He's done a great job there. They got to take Oral Roberts seriously because Oral Roberts is playing well, obviously. But keep in mind that they're a 15 seed for a reason. So, you know, they're on this high right now. Naismith has been terrific and O'Banner's been, you know, great. But, you know, they finished fourth in the Summit League. They're a 15 seed for a reason. Eventually, they're going to play like a 15 seed. And I think that's going to be this game against Arkansas.
Wow. And how about Gerard and Buddy Boeheim, the way they've been shooting, you wonder if they can stay that on fire. But Gerard was a 40-point game kid in New York in high school, the greatest scorer in New York State history from what I've been told. And then the other night I felt like I was watching it because he was hitting every shot he took and got hot. And when he got hot, it was all splash. And that 2-3 zone defense, will they do – look, they made West Virginia look incompetent. What are they going to do to Houston's offense with that defense?
Well, Houston's offense is not their strength. You know, they're a defensive team. They're a great offensive rebounding team. I think the best in the country, offensive rebounding. And that might be their advantage against Syracuse because that 2-3 zone, like most zones, is susceptible to giving up offensive rebounds. You're playing the best offensive rebounding team in the country. They're going to have to find a way, Syracuse is, to neutralize that. If they do, and they keep shooting, you know, Buddy Boeheim keeps his hot streak, and he gets help like he did in the last game, you know, they always have a shooter's chance, right? Syracuse has a shooter's chance. But if they're giving up two or three shots to Houston on every possession because they can't offensive rebound, they're going to have a problem. So, or they can't keep Houston from offensive rebounds. So that's, for me, that's the key to the game. Can Syracuse keep Houston off the glass?
Do you think they'd let Kelvin Sampson come back to Indiana and keep cheating? We could use that.
I don't think that's going to happen. That name hasn't hit the rumor mill yet. I don't think so.
Yeah, well, you know me, Jerry, always looking for the next criminal to run my basketball program. Florida State and Michigan on Sunday. It's not the first game, but it's the first in our hearts and in our programs, Jerry.
Yeah.
Florida State is the 4, Michigan the 1, Michigan's laying 2.5. I do not think it would be an upset if Florida State beat Michigan, but I respect Michigan all over that court. Dickinson, Brooks, Wagner.
Yep.
I think the kid Smith's a true point guard. He never picks up his dribble. He cycles around like a mosquito. I think he's fabulous with the pill, never picking it up, never stopping the offense. It's always moving, and the ball and players are always coming off screens and cutting, and that's dangerous to me. Michigan's hard to beat.
Yeah, they are. And for Florida State, their press is going to have to be effective, and it's hard to prepare for, you know, because they've got all these long guys, and they're deep, and they come at you for 40 minutes. So it puts a lot of pressure on your guards to handle the ball. So they're going to have to handle the ball better than they did against LSU's desperation press at the end of that game, because Smith turned it over, a couple of times at least, in that part of the game. They had a hard time getting the ball up the floor. But if they can get the ball up the floor against Florida State and make it a half-court game, then Michigan has a big advantage, because I don't know what they're going to do with Hunter Dickinson. He's kind of the X factor against almost everybody they play. So, that's going to be the key. Michigan's got to be able to take care of the ball, get it up the floor, and get into their offense. And without Isaiah Livers, I don't know if they can do it for 40 minutes.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if you ask me, when I was watching them the other night, I think that they've gotten such great productivity from, the guys. Like, if you go back to the LSU game and the job that they did when Brown had a huge game. Johns, I thought, had a couple big blocks and a big flush dunk.
Right.
But the guy Brown had a huge game. Not only that, he got away with that foot being on the baseline. And that play, he came in, got the bucket and one, made the free throw. That was a three-point swing, and he was out of bounds. But I thought that guy played the game of his life against LSU. If Brown plays that way against Florida State, trust me, because Livers is great. Best scorer, bah, whatever. I'm not going to argue that. But I didn't notice Livers wasn't in that attack the other night against LSU because Brown played so well, I forgot all about Livers.
Yeah, see, I thought Michigan would not have trouble getting through the first weekend without him. It's once you get to this part of the tournament where I think not having him could be a problem.
So, Jerry, I got 2 minutes. I got to be quick. I got three games here. Gonzaga and Creighton. It's 13 with Gonzaga favored. Creighton, I think, I said this today, if they are in the game at the break, then the first 10 minutes of the second half is the most important 10 minutes of their lives, because that's when Gonzaga destroys people. And if you can handle that 10 minutes and be in the game still with 10 left, they might have a shot against them. Or do you think they just get raked?
I don't trust Creighton at all. I think they're going to get. I think they're going to get run.
Listen to it.
However,
USC,
they got through the part
USC
of the
and Oregon.
I really shouldn't trust them. They show up against a better team.
All right, USC and Oregon. They played once. USC beat them, and the Mobley twins are. They're going off. What do you think? Oregon's hot. That should be a great game.
Yeah, I like USC because I think Evan Mobley's the best player on the court and the guy that nobody else can handle. So, if he plays well, I don't really know what Oregon can do about it. And then I think that he's the key to USC winning, and so I like USC.
All right, so I got 30 seconds. UCLA and Alabama. I love this Alabama team. UCLA's playing great and on both ends of the floor, defensively especially. Who do you like there, Bama or the Bruins?
No, Bama. They were my original Final Four pick in that region, and I'm definitely sticking with them. And UCLA's done great to get to this point, but I think Alabama's too much on both ends.
All right, so we'll talk to you before the Final Four, all right? And then we'll see where we stand after this weekend. All right, thanks, Jerry.
Maybe IU will have a coach.
Hey, Jerry.
Then.
Yeah, listen. If you Mavia said he found Damon Bailey, so if you want to go get him, I'm all in. I'll call the TV company. See ya. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
I was just telling Mavia that Damon Bailey was such a star in, when he was a kid, and then in high school, and then in Indiana. He was such a star in the state. Such a magnificent, you have no idea the stardom this kid had. And then now he's just trying to lead a normal life, and he's not in basketball. He just wants to be normal, and it has to be nearly impossible to be someone like that, where you were everyone's on everyone's tongue every day of your life talking about Damon Bailey, and then when you walk down the street or go anywhere, people want to talk about your career and your everything you did and what it was
worthy.
Like
we're not
and you
worthy.
Just you know what I mean, you'd lose your mind. I don't know how you'd even try to be normal again, or just, you know, be just a normal everyday person, an everyday Joe. It's impossible. Damon Bailey. That would have been a great show idea, though, Mafia. Finding Damon Bailey. Someone would probably run with that. Jets 2-0 over the Flames after 2. Coyotes up 2-1 on the Sharks. I will tell you tomorrow, good games. Oilers and Leafs in Toronto, Vegas Avs, and the Islanders Penguins. I just wanted to say that I hate the Islanders before I leave the air for the week. And they're playing them again, I think, Sunday. So screw them on Sunday as well. I could be wrong. They are not playing Sunday. It must be Monday. Let me find that game. It is Monday night. There you go. So those are the good games tomorrow. As for the NBA, Cavs are beating the Lakers right now by 3 early in the third. And then the Hawks are up 105-86 on the Dubs with 11 minutes left, 10.5, something like that, in the game in San Francisco. So enjoy the sweet bean. You can't beat it. Plus UFC 260. Mafia's picks are at PharrellOnTheBench.com. Mafia, I'll get you all the snags, the Dead Sea Scrolls for tomorrow after the show here tonight. Everybody have a kick-ass weekend. I'll see you Monday at 4 on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. Check out. Ooh.